All right, I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. The Old Testament book of Habakkuk. It's on page 1086. If you have the same Bible, I do. I'll give you a second to find it. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Habakkuk. All right, I'm getting nervous now. You got it? Good. Okay. All right, if you don't have it, just look intelligently at whatever page you happen to be on, all right? Chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. I want to read just a couple of verses out of this book randomly. I'm going to read one verse from each of the three chapters of the book and try to kind of tie them together for you in the message this morning. I want you to look, please, at verse 1, and you'll notice here, he said, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The burden. What Habakkuk is going to give us here is the burden that is on his heart. You know, burdens are important. We ought to have a burden about something. All right, I wonder where is your burden? What burden do you carry? Well, I want to talk to you this morning about a burden that I wish that everybody had. I wish all of us had this burden upon our shoulders. To be honest with you, that's the burden that I have on my heart this morning. I have a burden for our church and for revival in our church. And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning, the need for revival. We need revival in our hearts. We need revival in our church. We need revival in our homes. We need revival among our children. And I want to speak to you this morning on the need for revival. That was Habakkuk's burden. He saw where Israel was. He saw spiritually where the nation had drifted to. And he was greatly concerned about that. They were questioning why God would use Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to judge them. Why would God use a heathen king to judge his own people? And so he explained to them in this little three-chapter book the burden that was on his heart. And he basically tells them, hey, you know, you wouldn't serve the Lord, and so the Lord brought judgment upon you. All right, look at chapter 2, verse 4. We have another profound statement that is made here. In the fourth verse, he says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Look at chapter 3, and you'll notice in verse 1, the prophet says a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And so here is the burden that this prophet has for his people. And basically, you could sum up his burden by saying that it is a need for revival. And I want to speak on that subject this morning. So I'll ask you to pray with me, and you ask the Lord to speak to your heart as I lead us in prayer. Ask God to use His Word to touch your life and your heart this morning and stir the fires of revival in your own heart. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You so much for the privilege we have to be in Your house this morning. Lord, we're so thankful for each person who is here. Well, Lord, we pray for those that are unable to be here. There are some that are sick and some that are away. And so, Lord, put Your hand of blessing upon these. Lord, we do pray for those in the hospital that Pastor Stainer mentioned a moment ago. Lord, we ask for Your hand of blessing to be upon them, and that, Lord, You will have Your perfect will be done in their lives. And Father, we thank You for our guests who are here today. We're so thankful, Lord, every time someone comes to be with us here at our church. And Lord, thank You for leading, and that folks are here today for the first time. We ask You to help them, Lord, to feel welcome and to to realize that we're so glad they've come. And Lord, speak to their hearts today as well. All of us, Lord, we need to hear from heaven this morning. So I pray that you will bless us and that you'll put your hand upon the service. Bless the message now and lead and guide and help me as I speak. Lord, I just want to be a blessing and an encouragement. I want you to use me this morning to show us our great need for revival and that walk to have heaven's breath upon our every move. So, Lord, be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You might remember in the Gospel of Luke in the 18th chapter, and I believe it's in the 8th verse, that the Lord Jesus asked the question. He said, "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith upon the earth?" You know, that's a profound question. It's a kind of a rhetorical question. The answer is yes, the Lord will find faith upon the earth when he comes back. The Lord has always had his remnant. There's always been, even in the darkest of days, there have always been that remnant that stayed faithful to God. And that believed the word of God and upheld the truth of the things of God. And the Lord wondered. He asked a question, and of course it was a rhetorical question, and it's designed to get us to think. But when the Lord returns to this earth, will he find faith upon the earth? You know, if the Lord should come back this morning, there's at least some folks right here in this little place at 550 Baltimore Boulevard that we call the Church of the Open Door, and the Lord would certainly find faith in this room this morning. Thank God for folks that still hang on to the truth and still believe it and still uphold it and believe that the Lord is indeed the God of heaven and of earth. So if the Lord should come back today, would he find faith on the earth? Yes, he would. But if the Lord should come back today, I think all of us would agree that he would return to a church that across the world and across the United States of America, he would return to a church that in many cases has abandoned the Word of God. You know, folks, it's sad that churches all over the place are no longer upholding this book and are standing upon the truths that are written in this book. Salvation is still by grace through faith, yet there are many churches today that do not that no longer believe that. They don't preach the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but have substituted another gospel. We look around our world today and we see that you've got women standing behind pulpits and have been ordained in the ministry and are preaching the gospel. Folks, that's against the Bible. Now, don't look at me like that. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says, okay? And it very clearly states in here that when it comes to the matter of preaching, the women are to keep silent in the churches. Now, you can sing and you can teach a Sunday school class and you can say amen when the pastor's preaching and you can sing in the choir and you can, you know, do a lot of things. It's not saying that you're not supposed to talk. That's not saying that at all. God is not saying that at all. But what God is saying is that when it comes to the matter of preaching, that the women are not supposed to be doing the preaching. It's the men folk that are supposed to be doing the preaching. Now, you say, well, I got a problem with that. Well, then you take that up with God. All right. You argue with God about that. Now, I don't think you're going to win that argument because it's written pretty clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You can read it for yourself. All right. So when the Lord comes, what will he find on this earth? Well, I think he's going to find that a lot of folks have abandoned the truth of God's word. There are churches today that have bars in their basement. And they have dance halls they call reception centers, and they have gambling that they call bingo in order to pay the bills. Folks, I tell you, I will never, never have bingo in order to pay the bills around here. I'm just not going to do it. I just don't think that we ought to gamble in the church house so that we can raise money to pay the bills. One thing after another. I mean, I could go on and on for hours and tell you what churches are doing across this land of ours. Psychology has replaced theology. We're no longer preaching the Word of God, but instead taking the psychological principles that men have come up with, and we're developing sermons around psychology, rock and roll music in our churches, and sensitivity training in our churches, and homosexuals being ordained into the ministry. You name it, it's being done all over the country. Now, folks, what are we supposed to do? I tell you what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to read this book and follow this book. That's what we're supposed to do. I mean, we're just supposed to read the Bible and do what the Bible says. And if it's not popular then with the world, then it's just not popular with the world. I want to serve notice on you. It's never been popular with the world to do what God wants us to do. So all of this foolishness that is going on around our country ought to make us realize how needed a real God-sent Holy Ghost revival is in our churches today. Folks, we need revival in our churches. I was reading an article this week, and it was talking about how back in the 1700s and 1800s, they used to call these great revivals that God would send awakenings. And they called them that because people would wake up to the reality of God. They would wake up to their need of God. They would wake up to the fact that that the Bible is the Word of God, and what the Bible says is the way we're supposed to go. And man, we need an awakening today. We need God to wake us out of our slumber and get us back to the reality that God is still on the throne and that we are all accountable and responsible to Him. Do you realize, folks, that this church, the Church of the Open Door, was born in revival? This church had its birth in revival back 40-some years ago. The first pastor, the founding pastor of the Church of the Open Door, came out of the old Church of God. And they had some doctrines that our founding pastor, Pastor Ernie Baker, could not go along with and did not uphold. And so he started preaching and teaching. And when the denominational headquarters found out what was going on, it caused quite a disturbance. And the Church of the Open Door was birthed in a spiritual revival. Folks, we need not be afraid of revival. I mean, we shouldn't be afraid of it. The older that the church is, the more it needs to be revived. Don't you find that to be true just with your physical body? I mean, you know, the older you get, the more you need a revival in your physical body. I don't know about you, but man, getting out of bed every morning is a chore. You know, I do not like to get up in the morning. I don't like to go to bed at night, but I don't like to get up in the morning either. And, you know, the stuff starts to fall apart, and that which works quits working. You know, it's just awful to get old. And you need to jumpstart yourself every now and then. My daughter has me on these vitamins, and then four or five people here in the church have brought me vitamins and they've given me vitamins to take. And so I take vitamins every day. And my doctor's got me on this medication and that medication. And I take this for that and this for that. And I get them all confused and have to mark the bottle sometime to remember what I'm supposed to be taking. Getting old takes guts. You know that? Yeah. It's getting old is not for the weak of heart. And folks, listen, the older you get, the more you need to just stay with it and keep at it and keep going and not get weary and not succumb to old age. And it's the same way in the spiritual realm. We need to realize that the older we get, the more there is the tendency for the church to slip into a state of lethargy, to get lethargic in our service for God, to get a little apathetic in our service for the Lord, to let up a little bit. It's awful easy as time goes on for compromise to work its way in. And folks, I just decided several years ago when I first came here to be the pastor of this church, I knew Dr. Smith, and I knew the line that Dr. Smith held. I knew where this church was. I knew what this church was. And I decided, I made up my mind that if this church was going to compromise, it was not going to be on my watch. I just made up my mind. And so instead of loosening things up, which people are always trying to get me to do, they're always saying, Pastor, you just need to loosen up a little bit. You need to loosen up on that King James Bible. You need to loosen up on the music around here. Pastor, you just need to loosen up on some things. Well, folks, I'm not going to loosen up on anything. If anything, we're going to tighten things down a little bit more. We need revival. We need revival. And we have a tendency towards getting a little apathetic. We have a tendency towards compromise. And Habakkuk said, here's my burden. Here's my burden. He looked at his people and he saw them apathetic towards God. He saw them in a condition, in a spiritual condition, where they had just sort of loosened up things. They had just sort of relaxed on things. They had just sort of let things slide. And then he saw the judgment hand of God come upon them. And when God's judgment came upon them, they then threw their hands up and they said, oh, how could this happen? Folks, let me tell you something. God has a rule. God has a standard. It's called the Bible. And we just need to stand upon the Word of God and not compromise on it. And if everybody else is compromising, let them do it. But we cannot do that. And when we stand up on the truth of God's Word, we trust God to revive His work in the midst of the years. Oh, how we need God to revive His work. Now, listen very carefully. I got a couple of points here. I won't get to them all. But I want you to think about this. Let's think about revival, and let's think about the burden of this prophet. Let's think about this old man of God. Here he is now. He's watched his people. He's watched his country. He's watched God judge them. And he's brokenhearted for them. And he cries out for the need for revival. But let me just draw something to your attention here. I noticed as I read through the scriptures, God always revived his work when there was the greatest need. When there was great need. I mean, all through the Old Testament, you see over and over and over, Israel wanders away from God, and when the light was barely a flicker, and God was ready to send his judgment, it was then that God would send the prophet, and the nation, most of the time, experienced an awakening. Most of the time. Now, you say, well, it didn't when the Babylonians came. Listen, God sent 200 years before the Babylonians came. 200 years. Are you listening? God sent them the man that was probably the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, a fellow by the name of Isaiah. And Isaiah stood 200 years before King Nebuchadnezzar came. And he told Israel, he said, look, guys, here the Babylonians are coming. Now, they're getting stronger with each and every passing day. And he even told them that Nebuchadnezzar would come. He told them that there would be a king and told them what that king's name was, even though he hadn't even been born yet. Isaiah said, he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to have judgment in his hands. Now, repent. Repent, get back with God. And the reason that the judgment came and the reason that Israel was chastened of the Lord was simply because they did not listen this time. All the times in the past, whenever they got out of line, God sent his man. He preached to them. He told them. He warned them. And when he warned them, they repented. And then a great revival would ensue. But folks, listen, God always revived his work when there was great need. And and here's a little principle. Here's a little truth. You know this to be true. It is always darkest just before the dawn. Isn't that so? It's always the darkest just before the dawn. You mark it down, dear friend. We are living in some dark days. And I'm afraid that it's only going to get darker if the Lord tarries his coming. But wait a minute. Don't you think for a minute that I'm not optimistic about the future. I am optimistic about the future because I know that there's a principle in Scripture that whenever the need is the greatest, that's when the Lord shines the brightest. I'm optimistic because I realize that I've got a promise in this book that my Savior is coming again. I mean, he told those disciples, if I go, I will come again. And the angels appeared as he went to heaven. The angels appeared to the disciples, and they said, why are you standing around here gazing? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. And so the point is, I've got a promise, he's coming again. And I look at this darkness in this world that we live in today, and you got these churches compromising on the truth, and you got churches ordaining homosexuals, and you got churches that are using anything but the Word of God. You've got churches that are no longer preaching the gospel of Jesus and telling folks that there's only one way you're going to get to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've compromised all over our country today, and it's a dark day spiritually. But man, I'm excited about that, because that means that the Lord is about ready to do something. You should not get discouraged and throw your hands up in the air and say, oh my pastor, what are we going to do? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep standing upon the truth of God's word. We're going to stand regardless of what goes on around us. And we're going to look forward to that bright and glorious day when the Son of God will step out into the clouds and say, come on home, it's time now for wrath. Folks, he came the first time as the Lamb of God. He's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The first time he came in mercy and grace. The second time he's coming with wrath and judgment in his hands. So you need not be discouraged. God is always it is always the darkest just before the dawn. And you need to realize that with this increasing darkness and with the days growing darker by the day, it is a sure sign that the Lord is about ready to step in and work once again in the affairs of men. Take your Bible, please, and go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Let me read you a couple of verses here. Let's see what the New Testament has to say about these dark days in which we live. Look, please, at verse 1. Paul is writing to Timothy, and this is what he says. Listen to this. This know also, that in the, what? Last days. That in the last days. Folks, we're here. These are they. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And we're seeing that, aren't we? Have you ever seen the world in such a mess as it is in today? I mean, everything is a mess. Churches are a mess. The government's a mess. Financial institutions are a mess. The stock market's a mess. Our retirements are a mess. Everything's a mess. Good grief. Perilous times. And now look at the description Paul gives. And you'll see, wow, this is our world. Look at this. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Oh, how true. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I ought to stop right there and just preach for about 4 hours. Yeah. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Man, it's amazing. And if somebody's doing good, somebody's trying to win souls, or somebody's trying to do something right, and everybody looks down their nose at them. Say, look at that wacko. Look at that nut. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Paul says to Timothy, from such turn away. Now, folks, I want you to think about this. You say, yes, sir, Pastor Boy, that sure is a good description of America. Well, folks, listen, this is not describing America. This is describing the church. America has been like this forever. The world has been like this forever. He's not describing America here. He's describing the church. You say, well, Pastor, I can't believe you'd say that. Well, folks, listen, it's true. We think about it. We're too much in love with ourselves. We don't have room or time for God anymore. And that's what he said here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We don't have time for God anymore. I mean, it's like we show up on Sunday morning to do our duty to God, but then that's it. Okay, God, I'll give you an hour on Sunday morning, but that's all you're getting out of me. Folks, listen, God does not save you part-time. You ought not serve him part-time. Man, give your all to the Lord. You'd be amazed at what God could do with you if you just make yourself available to God. Now, I'm going to shock some of you right here. Now, you know, pay attention now. You might want to grab a hold of something so you don't fall out on the floor. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're having church again. Yeah. I know that surprises some of you. You didn't know we did that. But we do. Sunday morning, Sunday night. And now, this is really going to throw some of you because, you know, but Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to have church again. And we're going to sing a little bit, and then we're going to open this Bible, and we're going to learn something out of the Word of God. Folks, this is God's eternal, holy Word, and it deserves more than just some little ditty that we throw together on a Sunday morning and 15 minutes of your time. Here, let me just give you a little truth before you leave this morning. No, folks, our focus and our aim and our goal ought to be, what can I get from the Word of God today? Man, don't come in here looking at your watch saying, when's he going to be done? Come in here and say, God, show me something from your Word. And I hope you'll come back to church on Sunday nights. I hope you'll come back on Wednesday nights. We need revival, folks. We need God to light a fire in our souls to where we're hungering and thirsting for the things of God. We're too much in love with ourselves. We don't have time for God. Well, wait a minute, you want me to come back to church tonight? Well, I got to work tomorrow. You want me to come on Wednesday night? Well, man, some of the best shows are on Wednesday nights. We need revival. We're too covetous to tithe. Let me just say again, we're not going to resort to bingo to pay the bills around here. Now, that's just not going to happen. We're not going to resort to bingo. I mean, the principle in Scripture is that the tithe is the Lord's. We're too proud to humble ourselves at the altar. That's what he said, verse 2, that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. When's the last time God spoke to your heart, Christian? We need revival, folks. You say, well, I don't remember when the last time God spoke to me. Did you know God wants to speak to you? Did you know that every time you come in here and every time during the week that you open that book and read it, that God wants to speak to your heart? God wants your fellowship. God wants you to be close to Him. You know, we got a lot of folks here in our church, and thank God for every one of them. And I'll leave my office, and I'll start down the hallway. And you know, I have to purpose that I speak to everybody that I see. I mean, I have to, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? How are you? I have to make sure. You know why? Because folks will go after the service and say, you know that preacher? He walked right by me and didn't even speak. He walked right by me and didn't even speak. Well, he walked down that aisle and he shook hands with so-and-so and he shook hands with him. He didn't shake my hand. What is wrong with us? Folks, this is not about us. This is about our Lord. This is about coming and getting a relationship with God. We need revival. Having our God get a hold of our hearts and draw us to Himself. Now, folks, listen. If we're that way, God made us in His image. How do you think God feels when day after day after day after day goes by and we don't even acknowledge that He's there? We are so busy living our lives. We are so busy doing our thing. We are so busy with ourselves that we don't take time to open the Bible and say, okay, God, I've got your love letter open here. Talk to me. Show me something here this morning. Oh, I can't go to church today. Why the Ravens are in town. Well, I can't go to church today. Why, my favorite race is on. Folks, listen, when it comes down to it, we put other things before God. And God says, I want your fellowship. And that's why Habakkuk had a burden on his heart. And that's why I've got a burden on my heart this morning. Folks, we need God. We need the Lord in our lives. And we've let these other things creep in there and get us away from God. We're too worldly to be holy. We look down our noses at someone that does right. We have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. A form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Folks, I issued it this morning in the first service, and I want to issue it in this service as well. I want this year's Living Cross to be totally different from every Living Cross we've ever done in the past. You say, how so? I don't want us to look at the Living Cross the way we've looked at it in the past. We can do it. We know we can do it. Right before the Living Cross, we all get a little jumpy. We all get a little antsy. We all get a little fearful. Oh my, are we going to be able to do this year? Hey, we know we can do it. Let's don't even approach it that way this year. When we go into the Living Cross this year, I want us to go into that Living Cross with a different mindset and a different attitude. I want us to go into it like it's a ministry for God. This is an opportunity. Instead of pastor up here preaching, we're going to have our church up here preaching. And they're going to be singing those songs of Zion. And we're going to be portraying the crucifixion and the life of Christ. And we're not just going to do it as a performance. We're going to do it as a ministry. This is our heart reaching out to the community as they come in to hear it. Folks, pass those tickets out. Get the word out. Invite everybody you can. Let's pack out this building every night for the Living Cross. But then once we do, have it backed up. And I mean start now praying, oh God, speak to hearts. Let it be different this year. Lord, let it be different. Let the power of God be so evident and so clear and so powerful that when folks walk in and see this, they'll run to the Lord Jesus as their only soul's hope for eternal life. And let's get God in on what we're doing. Folks, we need revival. We need it. I've got Brother Lou Rossi scheduled to come the first week of May or second week of May. He's coming in May. I don't know exactly what. The dates are probably in the bulletin. He's coming in May. And Brother Rossi, you know you're going to hear the Word of God. You know you're going to hear it. Let's see a great sweeping, a great awakening. Let's see a great moving of God during that week. Let's see God do something. And folks, that those things will happen as we are surrendered, as we are yielded, as we are saying, wait a minute, I need the Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. Oh God, let it begin in my heart. And if we'll do that, we'll see God's blessing. You know, I think that one of the curses of our age is that church people want two altars. We want one altar for God, and we want one altar for Baal. I think that's the curse of our age today. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Can I remind you, the Lord Jesus said that you cannot serve two masters. Can I remind you that Paul said you cannot drink from the cup of devils and from the cup of the Lord? And I submit to you, folks, that we need revival. We need an awakening to clear the air and to get us to realize that this is not about us. This is about Him. This is about making much of Jesus. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And I want this year's Living Cross to get the choir out of the way and let the message come through. I want this year's Living Cross to get Joshua out of the way and let Jesus come through. I want this to be the Living Cross where when folks come, that the focus and the image and the picture and everything is just all about Him. And boy, if we got that kind of heart within us, God will bless that beyond our comprehension. I don't want you to look at it this year, church. Don't look at it like it's a performance. No, sir. Look at it like it's a ministry. Look at it as if God, you're going to let God use it for His glory. There's one more thing I want to show you before I close. Folks, we need revival. We need to get people back to living for God. That's my point. That's my burden. We just need to get back to living for God, putting God first. Turn over a couple of books towards the front of your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Let me just read you a verse here. Philippians chapter 2. Philippi was a city in northern Greece. This was one of Paul's prison epistles. He was in prison, so he couldn't come firsthand and visit the church. It was, you remember, the church that was born in the midnight hour. You remember that? In Acts chapter 16. All right, so here's Paul writing to the church, and in verse 19 of the second chapter, he says this. He said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, that's Timothy, the fellow we were just reading about a minute ago, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. And speaking of Timothy, he said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Why is that, Paul? For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a sad commentary? This was back 2,000 years ago, folks. This was Paul writing 2,000 years ago in the early days of the New Testament church. And he said, everybody's just out for themselves. Man, that's where we are today. Empire building. Everybody wanting to be the smartest guy in the room. And, you know, building their own little Mecca. Building their own little empire. I don't want Church the Open Door to be a little empire. I want Church the Open Door to be a place where Jesus is put out front. Where Jesus is clearly seen. You come in here on Sunday morning, I want it to be about Jesus. We sing these songs, I want it to be about Jesus. We have the invitation, I want it to be about Jesus. Everything we do, we need to have it be about Jesus. I'm not interested in building a name. I'm not interested in building an empire. I'm not interested in having my own magazine or having my own this or my own that. I'm interested in making much of Jesus. That's my burden for our church. And folks, we have such an opportunity to do that. Let's do it with a glad heart. I mean, this is where we are today. If you're seeking the things of Jesus, you're going to be serving Him. You're going to be doing the right thing. You'll come to church and be fed, and you'll not get mad at every little thing that's said and done. You know, I can remember back 30 years ago, it was a whole lot easier to pastor 30 years ago than it is today. Now, I've always had people get mad at me when I preach. That's just, I've always had that. One kid came up to me down in Pensacola, and he said, you are one brave soul. I said, why? What did I say? And he started listing all these things that I said that morning, and I said, oh, yeah, that kind of, yeah, maybe. But I just preach the way I know how to preach. All right? I just figure if a barn needs painted, paint it. Okay? You know? If the barn needs painted, paint it. So I sometimes say what's not politically correct to say. I don't apologize for that. That's what I am. That's who I am. I think you ought to just preach the Word of God. But folks, listen, if you are seeking the things that are Jesus Christ, that's not going to bother you. That's not going to bother you. Say, well, Pastor, people have left because you just take such a strong stand on the King James Bible. Amen. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. You bring me the evidence that the NIV, that's the not inspired version, is the Word of God. Bring it to me. But you can't. You can't. You can't bring me the evidence. There is no evidence. I can give you evidence that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And I have taken service after service after service to try and drill that into you. Well, Pastor, people don't like it and they're leaving. And that grieves my soul when they do. Leave because the pastor at the Church of the Open Door believes the Bible is the Word of God. Man, that's rough. Well, Pastor, you just need to loosen up this music around here. Folks, listen, I got saved out of rock and roll music. I am dead sure not going to bring it back into church. Not after 30 years. Man, I got too much invested in this. I'm not going to change. You say, well, what do we do, Pastor? I tell you what we do. We look at the things that are of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced, I'll say it one more time, I'm convinced that Christians don't read their Bibles. Are you reading yours? You need to read your Bible. Folks, if you will read your Bible, you'll come in here on Sunday morning and you'll listen to me preach it and you'll say, yes! Amen! Go, preacher! You won't be sitting there criticizing and critical of everything that comes out of my mouth. But you'll be sitting there going, wow, boy, that's what I just read. Amen. And I go back to Habakkuk real quick. Let me say one more thing, and I promise you I'll quit. I'm not done, but I'll quit. Look at the third chapter. Verse 2, he said, O Lord, I have heard thy, what? Speech. I've heard thy speech. What speech? It's words. I've heard thy words. Folks, if you're reading the Bible, if you are reading the Bible on your own, then when God revives his work, his people will get back to the book and they'll get back to believing it. That's what he's saying. We read your Bible, Christian. Now, tomorrow's Monday. We don't have church tomorrow. But you and God can have your own church service. Read your Bible tomorrow. Tuesday, we don't have a church service. I'm not going to be preaching in here on Tuesday. But you can sit down and read your Bible and God can speak to your heart. And man, if you read it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. By the way, back up to Wednesday. We are having church Wednesday. Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and then next Sunday you come back into church and man, you've got the Word of God burning in your bones. And then when I stand up here and say open your Bible, it speaks to your heart. Revive thy work. Oh, how we need God to stir our souls. How we need revival. How we need to put Jesus first and start living for the Lord. Let me ask you, Christian, do you want to see a revival in your heart? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see an awakening at the Church of the Open Door? Well, it starts with you. It starts with the individual. You can have that revival if you want revival in your heart. I'm not concerned about what everybody else is doing. I'm only concerned with what God's doing right here, right now in my life. You hear people say, oh yeah, I remember back in 82. Well, baloney, who cares about 82? What's God doing for you today? Yeah, I remember I was praying and God answered prayer back in 1975. Well, la-ti-da, has God answered prayer for you today? But God wants to. Problem is we don't pray. Yeah, I remember I was studying the Scriptures and boy, the Lord really spoke to my heart. Yeah, when was that? Well, 20 years ago. Let's study them today and let God speak to our hearts today. That was Habakkuk's burden. That burden is the same burden that we all want to have. I want to know the God of heaven. Let's bow for prayer.